I'm Evan Dawson, broadcasting live from the roof of WXXI on this day of totality. And we're doing something this hour that we've never done before. I suspect we will never do it again. It may be a little clumsy at times, but we are going to do our best to bring you an hour of, essentially, eclipse and 3 minutes and 38 seconds of totality. That's a little loud for me, Mike. And that, there we go. So we're on the roof of WXXI, and we thought we would have a beautiful view of this eclipse in totality. Right now, we're not exactly sure where the sun is in the sky. And so depending on where you're listening to this broadcast from, maybe you're feeling the same way. Maybe you're looking up to the heavens, not exactly sure where to look, as the eclipse started officially at 2:07. And unfortunately, the cloud deck's a little too thick for us to see anything right now. But we know that we're just minutes away from essentially a blackout. Totality is coming our way here. Now, we also know that you may be listening in different places, and maybe you're getting breaks, or maybe you're in the fortunate side. If you're west of Rochester, you got a better chance, although from where I'm looking to the east, it's almost lighter to the east. So it just depends on where you are. And I want to thank you for joining us right now. We are going to be talking to everyone from meteorologists to our team from WXXI this hour. And I'm going to start, in fact, with Josh Nichols, WXXI meteorologist, who is on the line with us. And we're just going to steal a couple of minutes of his time because we know a totality is coming. Josh, can you hear me, sir?
I can hear you loud and clear, Evan.
Wonderful. Hey, it's not the cloud deck that we wanted, but what's the regional picture? I mean, you're over in Niagara Falls. What is the regional picture like right now with the clouds?
It's so close yet so far is the only way I can put it. Cleveland, Ohio has got this remarkable view, almost perfectly clear sky. And there's clearing just southwest of Toronto as well. And, we're watching that clearing line over Lake Erie. And there have been some breaks at my colleagues at WKBW in downtown Buffalo have seen some breaks in the clouds. And they were actually able to catch a little bit of the eclipse as it started. But the unfortunately here in Niagara Falls, the overcast, it's stubborn. It's refusing to thin out. In fact, I checked the observation from the airport, and the airport's reporting a low deck of clouds at 6,500 feet. I can confirm that here on the observation deck.
Yeah.
One thing that, that we're all noticing right now is a temperature drop. It is noticeable, and you're talking about it already. We've seen the temperature drop here in Niagara Falls of about 5 degrees, and we could drop another 5 degrees during the totality time frame. And then, the temperatures rebound as we emerge on the other side of the eclipse. But the kind of cool thing to kind of watch here, besides the darkness that we're going to be plunged into, it's just, if you're outside, just kind of watch the nature's reaction. And a lot of scientists are going to be studying, how the birds react to the eclipse. A lot of birds will start, they'll either vociferously, start chirping or stop chirping. There will be birds who, and other animals who start to sort of exercise their nocturnal routines. so you might see some of this stuff, in your backyard, or you might want to watch, how maybe from downtown Rochester there, how the crows react. They might start to go through their nocturnal roosting places. So there's stuff to see, there's stuff to enjoy, and keep in mind too, just to try to keep cup half full mentality here. You are one of the select few in the world that get to experience this. You're being plunged into total darkness for 4 minutes. Consider that Los Angeles, their last total solar eclipse was in the 1720s. They will not have a total solar eclipse until, I think it's something like 3093 or something like that. So just to even experience anything to do with the solar eclipse makes you just, one of a lucky select few.
Well, I appreciate that, Josh. Thank you. And thank you for making time and keeping us informed. I enjoy it from your vantage point, and we are going to enjoy it because you're right. We are in the path. We didn't have to go anywhere, and this is special no matter what the clouds are doing or not. Thank you, sir.
You are welcome. Enjoy.
That's Josh Nichols, WXXI meteorologist. I would observe, to Josh's point about creatures and their nighttime habits, I think that might be true of human beings. I'm finally seeing human beings out and about. I wonder where they've been all day. Maybe people were taking that holiday, that eclipse holiday nap, and now we're on the roof of WXXI, but I can see on the roof of, that's the High Falls Garage, isn't it, guys? The roof of the High Falls Garage next to us is filling up with people. And across the way, Frontier Field, I keep saying Frontier Field, Innovative Field. Look, I'm not beholden to branding, but it's Innovative Field, and they have been welcoming people for several hours now. There were people down in the field, and so a lot happening, even just from our brief vantage point. I see over at Buckingham and their apartment complex, there's a bunch of people on the roof there. And Mike Black, one of our engineers, pointing out that the lights that come on at night are starting to come on because it is getting darker. When I got out to the roof, I couldn't tell if the darkness was because of how aggressive these clouds are. That's part of it, but it is partially because this eclipse is well on its way to totality, about 9 minutes away. And I think I've got time to sneak in a quick conversation with our colleague David Strever. Is that possibly right, everybody? Let me see if we've got David on the line there. David, are you there, sir?
I'm here, Evan.
Hey, David Strever, WXXI Director of Digital Product, is with us. He and his 5-year-old co-pilot, Helen, are over at RMSC, which is a great place to be. Looks like there's been a lot of people there for quite a while, David.
It is packed. There's hundreds of people here, Evan, and they're from all over the country. They have a big board up. People are here from California. I met someone from Maryland. And we actually even saw some visitors from a galaxy far, far away. There's stormtroopers and an R2 unit buzzing around. So it's this is a place to be right now.
I love hearing that. And, you know, David, I think there's a little bit of somber nature to what's going on now because, you know, people are starting to see pictures from different parts of the country that have sunnier weather. And I would describe the clouds I'm seeing as sort of rude and aggressive right now, almost ostentatious, like they're kind of just thumbing their nose at us. But we're still going to experience this totality thing. I wonder what the feeling is like at RMSC.
The excitement is high. You know, I mean, for sure, I think everyone would love to see clearer skies and see it, but it feels like a spectacle. They've got someone up on stage right now talking about what's happening, and they have ASL interpretation up there too. And mostly people are excited. The vibe is really good over here. There's picnics, lots of activity and energy.
And Mike is pointing out to me that now we're starting to hear birds that are off. So lots of these little indications of just this nighttime nocturnal behavior is starting to happen over here. David, before we let you go over there, how are the kids doing? How are the kids who are experiencing this at RMSC doing there?
You know, mostly they're not that engaged with it. They're definitely, they're hugging R2, they're eating popcorn, they're just kind of running around. And all the kids are kind of acting like kids normally act right now, so.
Well, hey, David, thank you for at least squeezing us in. Maybe we'll check in with you before the hour is up here. I want to give you a chance to get back and experience totality, sir.
Sounds great. Thanks, Evan.
David Strever joining us with Helen in tow. They're having a great time over at RMSC. I actually have a very interesting note from one of our WXXI volunteers, Gary Puttup, who sends us a note from Greece. He sends me a picture of the clouds, which are pretty similar to what we are seeing from the roof of WXXI. And Gary says that the choppy, turbulent clouds give way to smooth clouds in the area of the eclipse as the heat of the sun disappears. And this is how Gary puts it. This is something those clear sky folks won't see. So, all right. We'll take it, Gary Puttup. Good point. Thank you very much. Yeah, I mean, you have to try to look at the bright side. We don't get to have the clear sky that we all wanted for this, but we get to experience something that most of us will get to do once in our lifetimes. And so the conditions are the conditions, and we are broadcasting live with you here from the roof of WXXI. In a moment, in fact, as we go throughout the hour, I will read more of your communications. If you want to email the program, if you want to do that, you can do that. connections@wxxi.org. And I think we have just a moment to squeeze in a quick hello with Gino Finelli, one of our WXXI colleagues. If he is ready, I will say hello briefly. Again, I don't want to cut into totality for anybody. When we get to totality, I'll just try to very kind of respectfully come on through this with you here on the broadcast. But Gino is there with us now. Gino is a WXXI Investigations and City Hall reporter. Are you still over at Genesee Brewery, Gino?
I am, yeah. I can actually see it from here.
Hold on a second.
People mingling on.
Where are you? I'm standing up now. Where are you over there?
I'm waving.
See, I got new glasses. I should be able to see you, but I can't. Gino's across the river and took the long way around because the bridge is out. How many people over there, Gino? What's it like?
You know, it's a great place for people to be for this because now that it's kind of become a little bit of a disappointment, there's beer here, so people are having a good time.
Gino, I told you, you know, like, it's not until 3:21 that we get to judge here. We're going to find out in the next 5 minutes if this is the letdown you think it's going to be, but I think it's going to be special. Have you given up entirely yet?
I haven't given up entirely. It's gotten darker and colder, which
it's cool.
I've never experienced in Rochester before.
Yeah, that's very cool.
I mean, like probably everyone else is saying, you can't see anything. You can stare straight up at the sky. There's no indication of anything besides clouds. So I will hold out hope for the next 4 minutes. But other than that, I don't know what to expect besides what's already happening.
As we speak here, and again, part of why we're doing this broadcast is because this event is so unusual, and we just felt like we wanted to be a part of it in some way. I want to communicate with our engineers in the booth back there. We're going to be going to Kelly Walker from WEOS. I want to respect, we're too close to totality, I think, to bring in anybody else. I want to let people go through totality on their own, and then we'll talk to Kelly and many others after it. But I just want to be respectful of the time, and I appreciate that. But part of why we're doing this is we have a strong blind and visually impaired community who have indicated to us that it's important that we all get to do this together and describe this event together. Some folks are working. They can't be outside. They don't have a choice. Or some folks, just for different circumstances, can't get outside. I think in the last 2 minutes, the light has dropped substantially, Gino. You're seeing the same, I'm sure, across the river, aren't you?
It got darker in the past, but as you were talking, it actually got visibly darker.
Yeah. So, why don't you go experience this thing, Gino, and then we'll talk here. But I mean, this is getting pretty cool here. I'll let you go, bud. We'll catch up a little later this hour.
All right. Sounds good.
Well, maybe 2+ minutes to totality. I want to listen to the comments that astrophysicist Adam Frank made on Connections today. This is his first time experiencing totality, and he said that this has a chance to unify people across this country in the path of totality, no matter who they are. Let's listen to Adam Frank.
They're not Democrats, and they're not Republicans, you know? They're Americans, right? All getting together to do this fundamentally human thing of marveling at the universe. And I think there's a certain way of, like, in that moment of awe, all of these stupid stories we have about each other can just be dropped, and we can just be, you know, Americans. We can just be human beings and, you know, be startled at how beautiful the world is.
That's Adam Frank, astrophysicist from the University of Rochester. And I would just say this is really, really cool. We're less than 2 minutes to totality. And Chris Nessel is telling me, WXXI's Chris Nessel, who's got a camera on me, is telling me, you can't even see me anymore. Is that right? You got the iris all the way open, nothing? Yeah. I mean, wow, here it comes. I this is so strange, and I apologize right now because I'm not going to be the best person to describe it. I'm just going to do my best. But the drop in the light, oh, my goodness gracious. It is absolutely like in the last minute, you're hearing people starting to cheer. You can absolutely in the last minute hear as if it just became nighttime. And I'm going to rely on some of our colleagues. The beautiful patterns in the clouds you can now see pop because the sunlight is gone and we are here. Wow. I want to describe some of what the sounds are that I'm hearing. Mike Black pointed out you can hear the birds. The birds have come out and it is like taking a walk at night through your neighborhood, and you can hear birds. And maybe you might pick them up on the broadcast as well. I also can see, we're on the roof of WXXI. I'm looking over at the roof of the High Falls Garage. I'm looking across the river to the Genesee Brewery, and as I look farther to the east, you can finally see clearing skies and someone way out east, maybe Vermont, maybe the Adirondacks. they're getting quite a show. But we have quite a show here, too. This is really, really remarkable. I wish I had a better way of describing it for you. And what I think maybe is most interesting to me is all of the people. I'm seeing hundreds of people around us here now on the rooftops. People are taking it in so quietly. There was a cheer that went up right when totality started, right when there was a realization that this is it. And then the cheer subsided, and then it was quiet. And people are just taking it in quietly. It is beautiful. Mike Black also pointed out that the city lights are on. I'm looking downtown at city buildings from the roof of WXXI. Everything is lit up like it is a gorgeous spring evening. Like it's 10 o'clock at night on a spring night. In fact, there is less light than I expected. And maybe that's because of the cloud cover. You know, maybe that is in part because there is just no help for the sun that is now covered by the moon. But I'm not sure of that. It's darker than I expected. When I look far to the east, you can just see somewhere miles and miles away something cleaner and clearer. And I'm starting to get text messages from family over in Ohio. Their totality is over. We're right in the middle of it for just a little bit more. Notes coming in from out west in Ohio. A family member saying it was amazing. Did your skies clear up? No, they didn't clear up, but it's still special. This is really, really, really special. And this is also a moment where you realize that everyone who told you that it would still be really cool, no matter the cloud cover, they were right. They were right. We're broadcasting live in the middle of totality. I know it's a little unusual, a little clunky and strange, and we're doing our best with it, but we want to be with you if you need us. We want to be with you if you choose to be with us. This is not going to happen again in Rochester in our lifetimes. And I think we're just starting to see it clear, aren't we, Mike Black? I'm looking west here. You can see the cloud deck out west. You can see things starting to lighten up here. 3 minutes, 38 seconds of totality have got to be in its last minute, I would think, here, yeah. Maybe just seconds left here. You know what this feels like? This feels like dawn. Yeah, Chris Nestle's nodding at me over there. WXXI, my colleague Chris is... Oh, my gosh, and now it's coming fast. Oh, my gosh. It felt like the feeling of dawn and just that faraway light, but it is not slow now. It is returning very quickly. Yeah, that's the end of totality. And that's probably a great example of why when you're 98% eclipse, if you're not in totality, it's not quite the same because you don't have the total blockage. Wow. Now we're hearing some faraway cheers. I think over at Innovative Field, some of the people who experienced it over there. I let myself spend too much time today thinking that this was going to be a bust. Who told me this was going to be a bust? Was that you, Nestle? No. Chris is saying no. No. This is really cool stuff. Really cool stuff. And if you're just joining us, now that we're sort of out of totality, apologies for, you know, my broadcasting. I've never done 3 minutes, 38 seconds of just me talking about the impending darkness before, but thank you for hanging in. And we're going to share, we're going to spend a lot of time in the next couple days sharing your feelings of this. Maybe the most surreal part of this moment is right now. It's over. No, totality is over. We're still in an eclipse, a partial eclipse, and that will last until about, oh boy, 4 something? Almost 4:30? Yeah, 4:30, something like that. But for all of the conversation that literally went years, for all of the planning, everything that went up to it, yeah, totality is past us. And it's going to be weird to say this. It's going to be weird to say this, but I get it now. Like, I mean, I get why people will chase these things. it would be really cool if you had like a 30-minute totality. That would be really great. Luxor, Egypt in 2025, 26 gets 6 minutes of totality. But that was really, really something. That was pretty amazing. I will ask our engineers now. Miles and Megan are going to let me know in a moment. I'm reading a note from Scott Feibusch. Scott just sent a note in all caps. It just said, "I told you people." Oh, man. You know what, Scott? What Scott is really saying is he's given an "I told you so" for the people who thought it was going to be a bust or not really, really cool or whatever. Now, maybe Gino Finelli wasn't moved, and we'll get Gino on by the end of the hour. But I was. I thought that was awesome. That was really, really cool. Hey, Yarms, can you come over? Come on, man. So we're on the roof of WXXI, and just for a brief moment, I'm going to grab Ryan Yarmel, who's... Oh, Yarms, grab those headphones, and we'll see if... you're literally a professional broadcaster. You put them on backwards. It's kind of a funky headset, though. It is kind of weird.
Wow, so here we are. Beautiful. That was something.
Tell me what you thought.
Well, it was incredible to feel the temperature change that occurred maybe, I'd say, 5-10 minutes before. Something that I noticed Scott Feibusch, he mentioned to me.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it did get dark, but what was really notable was how quickly the light returned. It just really, really quickly came back. That was really something.
Yeah, so at one point, I realized it felt like dawn.
Yeah.
And it felt like that faraway light when you know it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
But then what shocked me was within the next minute, it was a flooding back.
Yeah.
It was fast, wasn't it?
Yeah, really, really incredible. I had a chance also to pop in an earbud and listen to the Root playlist. And eclipse was occurring right at the right moment. And then the sun started to come in and we had Aquarius come in, the age of Aquarius. It
you
was really a nice
it.
Moment.
I love that. That's art right there.
It's art.
That's
really appreciate
great.
It.
I also thought, before we go to Kelly Walker, one more question for you, Arms.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, you know, as it got darker, I thought, well, it's kind of getting darker, but it's cloudy. When totality hit, I wasn't thinking about the sun.
Hmm.
I mean, I'm sure it was really, really cool for people who did get full views of the sun
right.
getting blocked out and that the ring around the sun. But when totality hit, it was more just, it was like being in night in the middle of the day, and it was this kind of really almost odd, unsettlingly interesting experience. I wasn't thinking about the sun.
I didn't either. For me up here on the roof also, I was looking at some of the different church steeples around the horizon that we can see and think about that the last time these steeples had appreciated the total eclipse was back in 1925. So it was really cool to just look around the history that we have in Rochester and where we're situated to view it all and how long it's passed since the last one.
Hey, what are you showing me here, Mike Black?
That was totality.
Oh, just kind of a panoramic view of totality? Is that yours? Did you take that? That is great, man. So Mike Black took this nice view of totality. I want to thank Yarms. I'm sorry to
thank
interrupt you.
You.
I just grabbed him right off the street.
Just
here
taking in the amazement here.
Yeah, it's awesome, man.
Thanks, Evan.
Yeah, thanks for popping in. And I just texted astrophysicist Adam Frank. And I use some choice words that I won't broadcast with just to share my experience. But he just wrote back in all caps, "insane." And I'm sure he's fine with me sharing that. That was special. That was really, really special. And we could be hanging our heads because of the cloud cover. And I'm just not anymore. Like I almost don't even care anymore. I just spent all day caring. Let me bring in Kelly Walker from WEOS, our colleague down there who's down in Geneva. And let me see if we've got Kelly now. Hello, Kelly Walker. Let's see if we've got him. He has been broadcast. I think we got him. Let's try it again. Hey, Kel.
Now I'm having difficulty with phone coverage.
I can hear Kelly, but I don't know if he can hear me. So what we'll do.
I can hear you now.
Hey, there we are.
Suddenly.
Hey, my man.
Suddenly now I'm having trouble with coverage.
Hey, so Kelly, if you can hear me, let me just give you the floor to describe the Finger Lakes view of what we all just took in. How would you describe it?
Well, I'm really glad that you went to Yarns waiting on the line to give me a moment to catch my... We were in total cloud cover, and I expected people to be very disappointed. I noticed it's dark and the crowd just went quiet. And what I thought might be a cheer at totality was just a muted clapping and a lot of gasping. People were just, I mean, it felt magical. It was just lovely. And everybody was just kind of basking in that darkness. And when the light came back, I feel very fortunate to have been on the Seneca Lakefront, because watching this happen over the lake was really awe-inspiring.
That's really cool stuff. And I want to echo Kelly's observation. It was very similar here. If you're just joining us, we're broadcasting here in downtown Rochester on the roof of WXXI. Kelly with WEOS down on the lakefront on Seneca Lake in Geneva with Finger Lakes Public Radio. Kelly's observation is exactly the observation I would make here. There's a lot of people on the High Falls Garage, a lot of people over the Genesee Brewery across the river that we can see, over at Innovative Field, and on the rooftops of apartment buildings around town. I mean, everybody was out. And when totality was clear, Kelly, there was like this, briefly, you could hear this cheer, and I thought it was going to be like, you know, kind of this eruption, but instead it was almost like this reverence. People didn't want to spoil the moment for anybody else, and everybody just kind of took it in quietly. That's what it was like here, and I guess that surprised me, but maybe it doesn't surprise me, because it felt that way to me. I almost felt like I shouldn't be talking, but I had to do my job. I just wanted to kind of breathe and experience it. Is that kind of a fair way to describe it for you? We might have lost him now. Let's see if we can get Kelly back on. And then, well, let's see. I think we've got Scott. Maybe we can go to Scott when we get Kel back before the end of the hour here. Let's do that. I mean, Scott Feibusch is the I told you so guy now. And if Scott's there, I cannot wait to hear this take here. Scott Feibusch, are you there?
I am here. Can you hear me, Evan?
Yeah. And listen, I saw your note in our work chat, and I just want to tell you that I think you're right. Scott, I'm speaking for me. I'm not speaking for everybody. I'm sure there were some people who were disappointed. But what I've been saying is when totality hit, I almost didn't care that there was cloud cover. It was that remarkable to me.
Yeah, I mean, this was fascinating for me, because having had that experience that I still can't stop talking about 7 years ago of seeing it where you really see the sun disappear, I'm not going to lie. It's still just an absolutely phenomenal thing. But having said that, this was really, really amazing too. And kind of the same thing happened here. When I was in Kentucky in 2017, there was this massive cheer. I was having what we call a wee eclipse with a whole bunch of strangers from all over the place who were all in a town park there. And that moment when totality hit, there was this applause and there were screaming. You've heard the sound clips that I've played of it. This was very different here on my deck with my family and some friends and so forth around us, because everybody got quiet and we listened and we stopped, and those clouds, and I can see already, I mean, just the difference in the last few minutes and the texture of the clouds as I'm sitting here looking up, we're back to having what looked like normal gray Rochester afternoon clouds. You know, from looking, the clouds didn't look anything like that a few minutes ago. You've
no.
never seen clouds that looked like that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And it was the same thing here, and just the quality of that light and the depth of the darkness. It was darker than it ever got when we were in Kentucky and we had clear skies to it. And so the quality of that light is far different. Hopefully Megan can hear me a little better now. She has her mic level better.
That's all right.
A little better. I'm my own engineer out here. The quality of the light changed. Just seeing the lights come on around the neighborhood. And I was surprised, because I know that a bunch of my neighbors are gathered right in the park by my house here near 12 Corners. And I know that there are thousands of people further down the road from me at Buckland Park in Brighton. I expected to hear a lot of cheers.
Yep.
And this was different. This was a more sort of muted, personal kind of thing. Although I got a text from our colleague Jasmine Singer, which I will read to you verbatim. Wow. Wow, 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 wow. So.
That's very descriptive.
That's a very Jasmine Singer reaction, but it's fascinating. I still want to see the person, I've said this all along, who I most want to see and hear from at this point, is still Dan Schneiderman, who, as I pointed out during my comedy routine over the weekend, he has told us for 7 years now how awesome a total eclipse will be without ever having experienced one himself. And so I am dying to hear what his experience was like. Obviously, I'm dying to hear what Gino's experience was actually like in the end. But no, this was still, it was a super fulfilling experience. And yeah, I told you so.
Scott, one other thing that I want to make sure I ask you about here is when totality hit and then we got to the other side of it, it had that dawn-like light, but then it mm-hmm. then the light came back so fast. And my observation, I don't have an expertise in this, was that that's probably because once we got out of totality, you were in that 99, 98, 97%. And that's probably why you've been saying for so long, like, no offense to the people who weren't in totality. I'm sure that right. was cool, but it's not quite the same.
No, if you were not, I mean, that's the thing. Even though we never got to see it here, we still experienced something that if you were in Ithaca, if you were in Albany, if you were in Utica, you would not have experienced, because it would have just been sort of, you know, that sort of low darkness that we were getting a few minutes before and a few minutes after, that was 95%. And that's not such a neat sensation. But for all the people, you know, who have been saying, well, I've experienced night before. Yeah, you've never experienced night come on and then disappear that fast before, and you know you haven't.
Scott, that was really, really special, and I'm going to say that you were right. So I'll be the first to say it, but I know that not everyone's going to feel the same way as me, but that was awesome, and thank you for what you've done to help us with this. We appreciate it, and I think we're going to talk more tomorrow. I hope so, but once I really get my words together, I don't really feel, I feel like I'm just stammering a lot right here.
So tomorrow, I mean, here's the thing. Keep in mind that, you know, almost nobody who is now alive in Rochester experienced one of these before. And by the way, in 1925, the last time it happened, this was the weather, more or less. Same thing that we had today. So they kind of had the same experience.
Awesome.
Nobody who is alive now will experience this ever again in Rochester, because it'll be 2144. And so, you know, we should be talking about how do we preserve this moment. Just like I said, I have a video camera sitting on a tripod pointed at everybody in my yard. And I'm waiting. I got to get up to the Innovation Square later this afternoon. I have the station GoPro is mounted up there, looking down over the Genesee River in downtown Rochester. And is that going to be a time lapse to see or what?
Hey, listen, I've got to let you go because I've got a lot of people who are calling me now. Apparently, the whole world wants to talk about this. Let's talk again soon. Thank you. Thanks for staying in town and sharing this with us, Scott.
I'm glad I made that choice. It could have gone another way, but I'm satisfied.
Absolutely right. That is Scott.
That's all good. Talk to you tomorrow.
That's our colleague, Scott Feibusch. We will talk to him tomorrow. I want to bring in my colleague, Noel Evans, and then I'm going to bring in astrophysicist Adam Frank. My gosh, I mean, the whole world wants to just talk about this amazing thing that we all experienced. Noel Evans, I don't even know where you are right now. Where are you?
Hey, I am at the George Eastman Museum. I'm in the gardens.
And look, let me just say, Noel, I want to give you a little bit of space to describe it. And I know that from what I'm reading here, this was emotional for you. It was emotional for a lot of us. How'd it hit you?
Really hard. I'm still feeling it. There was a guy named Franklin who came up from New York City to experience this, and he came over and he's like, "You good?" I've like got like tears streaking down my face. Yeah, it was. I mean, I really felt it deep. You know, initially, you know, there's people packing up their chairs because they're calling it a bust. You know. I'm looking up at the clouds and I'm just kind of impressed at how well and how thick the clouds are to cover up the amount of sun. But yeah, when it hit so hard. And then the first light, I thought I had felt enough, and then there was that wave too. So it's incredible.
I'm going to send a note to our producer, Megan Mack. I would just say, let's just keep rolling with these live conversations, Megan. And Adam Frank had mentioned that he wanted to call, but why not? Yeah, we can call him, I think. Yeah, let's do that. He's been busy with CNN and NPR and a bunch of things. But, Noel, this has moved so many people. My phone just blew up with this experience. And let me just try to make sure I understand a little bit more of your perspective, because maybe you're going to be better with words than I am right now. I'm not feeling very good with words about this. But can you just look inward a little bit and explain why you think this hit as hard as it did? You said it hit hard, but why do you think so?
I think, for me, in part, it's a spiritual experience. And I was going into it with that as part of my experience. Mm-hmm. When I say I felt it deep, I mean, like, in my chest cavity. Like, I was holding my hand over my heart to kind of steady myself. Hard to describe. I think, you know, when I try to intellectualize it, like, right after I see Danny Deutsch from Abilene's, and I'm like, I would love to talk to you, but maybe not right now. I don't want to go back to life as usual. I think I need to sit with it. And, you know, out here it smells so, like, you've got the dogwood trees, you've got the flowers, the cut grass, like, it's just so fragrant. And you have all these people, they set up their telescopes and, you know, maybe not exactly what they were hoping for, but then just having this collective experience, even if there was this undertone for a minute of disappointment, but also humor. And then to have this experience just, I mean, being this little speck on this planet is so fortunate to have life when so many planets don't, you know?
I mean,
does that help explain it?
That's why I called you, because I knew you would be able to say it better than I could. Hey, last question for you, Noelle. You know, when you say it hit you that hard and you could feel it deep in your chest, what I want to ask is if that surprised you, because going into it, you know, the sky was getting dark and you could tell it was coming. But for me, until totality was in effect, I don't think I was prepared for how really remarkable it would feel. So that in a way it surprised me. I was almost expecting to feel like it was a bust or a little bit of a letdown, and it was the opposite. Were you expecting a little bit of a letdown, or did you think it would feel the spiritual?
I didn't know. I was thinking about this moment, you know, leading up to it for weeks or months, and like I would get choked up thinking about it ahead of time. And, you know, I wasn't sure what was going to happen, but when we were plunged into darkness like that, it was astounding. It was otherworldly. Like, there are times, at first I was thinking, you know, there are times when we have storms roll in and it gets dark fast, but this was a darkness that didn't come from something from the earth. And that was noticeable. And anyway, you're on the roof, aren't you?
Yeah, I am on the roof at WXXI. There's lots of ambient noise
here. Right?
The birds are hanging out, the people, our colleagues. Hey, Noelle, that was really beautiful stuff. Thank you for, I know this is a moment to sit and reflect, and I just want to thank you for sharing your words with us here. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Evan.
Awesome. Just beautiful stuff from Noelle Evans over at the Eastman Museum. And I want to turn now to astrophysicist Adam Frank, who is on the line with us now. And, you know, I shared on the radio that you and I exchanged a few interesting words after totality, because I think I thought it might be a little bit of a letdown. I thought it might be cool, and I was not ready for that. Adam Frank, what did you think?
I had the exact same experience. You know, I kind of woke up this morning and I was like, you know, curse you weather.
Yes.
And then I heard about, like, what was it? I'm not sure. Did you tell me? Somebody told me about Carbondale, Illinois.
Yeah, that was me. I told you about Carbondale, Illinois had it 7 years ago. They had totality and they had great weather. They've got it again today. They had great weather. Twice.
Curse you, Carbondale. But so I went out there, you know, I was doing CNN and I had to be on with them for an hour. And then I came out here, you know, my wife was off doing things with some friends. So I was just out there with me and the dog. And I was like, okay, whatever. And then, you know, you started to really notice the darkness. And then when totality hit and the strangeness of the light and the way that the clouds, the bottom of the clouds lit up, because the light was coming from, you know, all the way over in the horizon where the moon's shadow wasn't. Yep. It was, you know, I can think about the science, but it doesn't matter. It wasn't about the science. It was about this fundamental human experience of awe of this these titanic powers that we are under the rule of, you know, and that we are part of as well. I completely did not expect to be so deeply moved and to feel that sense of those powers so completely.
I don't even know how to like articulate this. I'm going to need more time, but you know, some of the things we've been talking about is what it felt like coming in and then coming out. And I agree with you. Coming in, it was like, oh, this is cool. It's getting darker. And then all of a sudden it was like, bang. I looked around. We're on this rooftop. And it was like everyone was wrapped. Very little cheering. There was some cheers. But then there was just solemn observance. And I looked around. And, you know, our colleague Mike Black was pointing out all the little things that were happening that were indicative of it being the middle of the night. The city's lights were lit up. And you could hear birds and different things. And the streetlights, you know, of course, it'd be great to be out in the countryside. But it felt like being on a nice spring evening at 10 p.m., in Rochester, but only with hundreds of people on the rooftops looking around together. And then it went out so fast. Once the dawn-like feeling hit, it lifted fast, didn't it?
Yeah, it really did. It really did. But what I was, you know, so I had the opposite experience because I'm out here, you know, in Irondequoit, in the park, basically, and there's nobody else around. So it was just me and this power, you know, this darkness that fell, that had this sense of might, you know what I mean? Like literally, it was a cosmic power, right? The sun was being blotted out. And when we really dropped into that depth and you suddenly became aware of how overwhelming it was, that's what I was really surprised by. That sense of like, you know, because I kind of was like, oh, okay, fine, whatever. It's going to get dark. That'll be nice. But I did not expect to be so profoundly moved and to feel so much this sense of the universe is, you know, there's the clockwork part of it that we know exactly when it was going to happen. And the idea of, you know, of that what's happening is the moon, what we're really seeing is the moon rushing through its orbit, right? So the shadow is moving at 1,000 miles or so an hour, because that's how fast the moon is moving in its orbit. But here it was beyond that. It was that's the sense of the dark. I'd never experienced a darkness like that before. So that's what I'm going to take away from this, is just that, you know, behind the science is this reverence, I think, that human beings, you know, that these kinds of things naturally invoke in us of this wider universe that we are part of and also subject to.
Ugh. All right, a couple more things, and I'll let you go because I know you've been all over the place today. I love this. This is a tweet from a Rochesterian responding, "What did you think despite the cloud cover?" And this is kind of how I felt. He writes, not much, sudden total awe. Like, that's kind of what's like, that's kind of how it was. It was like, oh, I mean, the first thing, Adam, we got out here for this broadcast, and I got out and I was talking to colleagues, and it was like, I don't even know where the sun is. There's that much cloud. I don't even know where to look in the sky, hoping for a break. That's how much cloud cover there was.
Right.
And to me, I'm sure the cloudless sky is even cooler, but it just didn't really matter. And the thing that stands out that's kind of important for the pride part of it is this. You know, Rochester has this way of being down on itself and having this, you know, this negative self-image sometimes. And I get it. If you were in Cleveland or if you were in Cincinnati or other parts of the country, Carbondale, Illinois, you got it better today, probably better. But you got something amazing today. Rochester doesn't have to hang its head over like, well, what could have been? This was once in a lifetime. We don't get to do it again here in our lifetimes unless something technologically really amazing happens and we're all hanging out in 2144. So I just want to feel, I don't want anybody to feel like we were in a less than place. This was a really, really special place to be.
I would completely agree. And I got to tell you something about the cloud cover right when it was happening, because I stood outside and I have this incredible view of the sky. The clouds were wild, right? Already
they,
the clouds,
yes.
You know, the gradation of it. It wasn't just a blank cloudy sky. There was a lot going on with the clouds. And that made, I could see as that made the totality even more, you know, apocryphal or whatever, or more, not apocryphal is not the right word, but even more epic, right? There's, you know, when people do these drawings of like, you know, the cosmos, the edge of the cosmos, they'll draw these clouds with these incredible patterns and lighting. And that's what we got, because the signs, they were you know, it was some of the clouds looked almost transparent, and then other clouds were being lit from the bottom. It was insane.
I could not agree more.
So there's a certain way in which, yeah, the cloud cover actually did something. The way the kind of clouds we got gave us an amazing show.
Yeah, I could not agree more. I remember maybe 10 minutes to totality, I described the clouds as a little ostentatious and even aggressive and taunting. You know, like they were like, you're not going to see the sun. Sorry. You know, we are here to block your experience. And right. And yet, here we go. It was, they added to the experience for me. So
I think so. Yeah. So forget you, Carbondale, Illinois. We had something even better.
All right, Adam Frank, astrophysicist. I know you've been on CNN and they want you in a lot of places. And you are generous to pop in and experience this with us. Thank you.
Always fun to talk with you. Always fun to talk with you.
That's Adam.
We've been tweeting back and forth. So
I know.
Continuation of our
conversation. It's like we had to talk about it. It's so good. Thanks, man. Thank you very much.
All right. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Dr. Adam Frank, Carter writes to say, I am able to admit I was a little too cool for the eclipse. Then the eclipse happened, and I am no longer too cool for the eclipse. That was amazing. I imagine that's probably a lot of that. So we're going to be quick here. I think we've got a lot to fit. Let's be fast here. I will go to my colleagues. I think we're starting with Gino Finelli first. Hey, Gino, no pressure. I thought it was awesome. I don't care if you're still a curmudgeon. It's fine. I thought that was really cool. I want to get your take here.
Well, I think listening to Adam talk, I actually feel very similar to him. Like my mindset going into it, and I never was against the eclipse itself. It was just, oh, it's going to get dark for a little while, and that's all it's going to be. But I will say I completely agree with him that there is this cosmic sense of insignificance that you kind of feel as you watch these, I guess, mechanisms that control the whole universe moving in a way that we've never experienced before. I've never experienced before. So it was pretty cool. It was pretty neat. The moment where, like, I saw it getting darker and darker, and then all of a sudden it just snaps and goes out. It's humbling in a way that there's this, everything is so much larger than us and where we live and what's going on. It just is a reminder of how big the universe truly is and how powerful it is. That's kind of my thoughts walking away from it. A humbling sense of cosmic insignificance that I felt for these.
I loved it. I think that's actually really well said. And hey, 30 seconds. It probably still didn't change your life, though. That was always the tagline. Is it going to change your life?
It's a memory that I'll have, and I guess for every memory that I have that's, you know, stored inside my brain, they change my life a little bit. So there's that.
Good stuff. Hey, man, thank you. We'll probably talk a little bit more later and tomorrow. Appreciate you, as always.
All right. Thanks, Evan.
Gino Finelli from over across the river at the Genesee Brewery. Let me bring in, I think we're going to Brenda Tremblay next, who is out in, I think, native Brockport, which might have had a little bit less cloud cover. I'm not sure. Brenda Tremblay from WXXI Classical 91.5. What did you see?
Oh, my gosh. Wow, Evan. Well, first of all, I walked around town because we were actually on the center line of the Path of Totality.
Yeah.
And they had these big, almost like finish lines at a 5K you would see set up. But instead of, you know, 5K, it said center line of the Path of Totality. And it was a real festive atmosphere here. So, for example, they were selling Jello shots on Main Street. I'm sure that was illegal. There was a steel drum band going on as well. And then, then, you know, people started lining up on the Erie Canal in Brockport, and then they started shrieking a few minutes before totality. I could hear little kids kind of like yelling their heads off. And, you know, I'll just echo what Adam said and what Gino said. It was humbling. It was strange. It was almost because of the clouds, it was more menacing than it would have been if we had been able to see the sun, because it was like this shadow, you know, like the angel of death in the Ten Commandments of Charlton Heston. You know, it's so weird. And but already we have a group of friends visiting from down. We have a group of friends visiting, and they're already making plans to go to Iceland in 2026.
That was fast. They were convinced.
You know? Yeah, it was like you could feel the shadow moving over us in a way that if we had been able to see it through a telescope and objectify the sun, it might have been more science-y, but instead it was like something we felt in our bones.
So, again, my colleagues, the reason that they're here this hour is I was not prepared and I've got like no words left, and Brenda is putting this absolutely beautifully. I think the way you just put it, Brenda, describes why I ended up feeling like it didn't matter that we didn't have clear skies. I'm not trying to be the guy who's too cool or whatever. Like, I get it. It was probably a slightly better or different experience, but this was not diminished for me. And I, until totality, I thought it was going to be diminished. So that was the surprise.
It was amazing. And one of our friends, when it was over, he goes, again.
I know. I think I said to some folks here up on the roof that that would be, I want to go somewhere where it's like 30 minutes of totality. Like that would be, but that was really, really special. Final impression from you. Would you travel and go see one of these things, Brenda?
Oh, absolutely. We actually have a friend who's an astronomer visiting from Maryland, and he's seen a clear sky eclipse. He saw in the path of totality, and now he's experienced it in the clouds. And he's glad he has both of those experiences now, because the clouds really magnified his sense of doom and wonder in a way that seeing the sun might not have, you know? I mean, it was sad to see the little heap of unused eclipse glasses on the picnic table among us, but also it was just, you know, I think we all just felt, I don't know, I'm still processing.
I think we're all going to need a little more time. I think we're all going to need a little bit more time. Hey, thank you for making time for us. You are literally on the center line, and that is really cool stuff. Thank you, Brenda, for checking in with
us. You're welcome,
Evan. Great stuff.
Glad to have this experience with you.
Brenda Tremblay from Classical 91.5. I just want to thank all of my colleagues who have actually taken time. They are so busy, and they are covering this event in so many different places this afternoon, and they've taken the time to be with us, to be with you, and I know you've been sharing some of your thoughts tomorrow on Connections. We're going to do that. We're going to spend the noon hour doing that tomorrow. And we welcome, if you want to send emails, to connections@wxxi.org. There's too many people to thank. So I'll just say to my WXXI colleagues, really remarkable and smart to try to put this together the way you did. We did our best, I think, in unusual circumstances. And a special thanks to Miles and Megan for making this thing go and sacrificing a little bit of totality time for listeners. From all of us, thanks for listening. We're back with you tomorrow on member-supported public radio.